So the upcoming sermon text is what we're going to be talking about. And pretext is a chance for you to get that gears turning about that scripture, start to meditate on it, and start for it to just kind of let loose and get free and run rampant in your heart. And so this is our second try at it. This is a pilot podcast that we're doing right now, and we're just going to see if it's something people appreciate and something that really helps us do that, get the word into our hearts. And so what we've been doing in pretext is just getting the text kind of into our minds and also handling things that I'm not going to be able to handle in the sermon. And there's a couple things, really three things, that I can't handle in the sermon this week. And because our text is a little bit lengthy and it also handles some really, really intense issues. In fact, I'll tell you this, I'm really, really nervous about this podcast, and I've just been praying about it, and I'm asking God to help me be clear and pastoral and loving about some of these very difficult issues that are here in this scripture that Jesus does want us to know, though. And so here we are, we're in Matthew chapter 12, and the sermon text that we're going to be looking at is verses 22 through 37. So like I said, it's a little bit more lengthy. And really the first part of the text is what I'm going to spend most of my time preaching on. And so I want to bring up really just three points that come from the second half of the text. And so I'm going to jump right into verse 31, which says, "And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven." And so point number one, and I know what just happened. You're thinking, what is this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that cannot be forgiven? And I'm going to try to walk you back from that, because I think it's a mistake to just rush, right? We always read that and we're like, what is this sin against the Holy Spirit? I don't want to do it. And we rush right past the first half of the verse, which is just incredible gospel. And I want you to think about that, how gentle and loving and forgiving Jesus is. He says every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven. And then in verse 32, he says, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. And that's just an amazing thing. Because normally, especially you have to think about ancient kings, normally if you speak a word, like, you can't even come into the presence of an ancient king. If you do that and he doesn't hold out his scepter to you, you're going to be condemned. You're going to be put down. But Jesus is such a gentle king, such a loving king, that when you come into his presence, you can come into his presence with anything against him, and he's going to forgive you. That's what it says there. It says he will forgive you. That's how big a heart Jesus has. And I want you to hold that in your mind, and I want you to hold that in your heart. As we get to point two here, and just talk for a second about the sin against the Holy Spirit. And this is where I get really, really nervous and really, really anxious as a pastor, because every time I think about this, every time I think about people who have come to me worried and anxious and confused, and they ask me, hey, Pastor, did I commit the sin against the Holy Spirit? In fact, it wasn't all that long ago when I got a phone call. Actually, we have some Google ads at Peace, and I got a phone call from a guy. It was like 2 a.m., and it was literally Christmas Day. The guy was calling me, and he was calling me from Alabama, of all places. And he was just almost suicidal over this idea that he had committed the sin against the Holy Spirit and that he couldn't ever be forgiven. And so the very first thing I want to tell you about the sin against the Holy Spirit is this, and this is what all Christians everywhere say about it. If you're nervous about it, if you're worried you might have committed it, then you have to know you haven't done it. You have to know you haven't done it. Because if you care about God, if you care about the Holy Spirit, if you care about the Christ at all, and you can tell that you care because you're concerned about it, you're worried about it, you're anxious about it, then you actually have the Holy Spirit. And you haven't committed the sin, and so all sins are forgiven for you. Hopefully that logic tracks. We're going to have to come back to it. But that's the first thing pastorally I want you to know. If you're concerned about this, then you have the Holy Spirit. Because the sin against the Holy Spirit, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, is the exact opposite of that. In fact, we could define it in this way. The sin against the Holy Spirit is willful, determined, malicious rejection of the gospel. That's what it is here. You can see it so clearly. And let's just for a second look at the context of Matthew chapter 12. Right at the end of Matthew chapter 11, you have Jesus saying to people, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And there's this group of people that says, "Yeah, I'd rather not rest. Jesus, you've invited me to rest. You invited me to be healed. You've invited me to wear your yoke, which is easy and light. And nah, Jesus, I'd rather not." And in fact, Jesus doesn't give up on those people, because right away then in Matthew chapter 12, and we talked about this last week at Peace, is you have Jesus giving people rest. He heals this guy with a shriveled right hand. He's given rest. And he says, "I want you to rest on the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath to give you rest." So he's constantly trying to give people rest from sin and brokenness and restoration from everything. And in fact, it says right here in Matthew chapter 12, and it has this amazing verse here quoting from Isaiah, "Here is my servant," and this is talking about Jesus, "whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he's going to proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. And then here's his grace." This is what he always tries to do. "A bruised reed he will not break." So he's not going to break hurting people in half. And a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. So when our faith is low and ebbing and we're worried and confused, he's not going to snuff that out. He's here to restore us. He's here to give us grace. He's here to give us, as it says here from the prophet Isaiah, to bring justice through to victory. And in his name, the nations will put their hope. So that's why Jesus came. And then he shows that to these Pharisees, to these people he spoke these words of warning to, all over again, because you've got a deaf mute, and we're going to talk a long time about what that was like on Sunday, but he's got a deaf mute there, and Jesus heals the guy. And then the Pharisees blaspheme against that. They blaspheme against that, and they say, "That's the work of the devil." And so multiple times the gospel has been brought to them. Multiple times they've said, "No, no, 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 I don't want it." So it's willful, determined, malicious rejection of the gospel. It's a final hardening. Like, you can't ever turn around and receive the healing and forgiveness that Jesus offers again. That's what blasphemy, or the sin against the Holy Spirit. And we know, I want to emphasize this right now, this is not something you're ignorant of. It's not like you, "Okay, I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know what he's done." It's you being fully aware of all that. The Holy Spirit has made it known to you. This is who Jesus is. This is what he's come to accomplish. And you look at it and you just say no. And so that's something we have to understand too, that the sin against the Holy Spirit, or the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, is not saying, "Hey, I don't like the Holy Spirit," or, you know, blaspheming him like that. Christians understand the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit as a blasphemy against the office of the Holy Spirit, or what the Holy Spirit comes to do. And we know that from this context, because the Pharisees actually didn't say anything about the Holy Spirit. What they did is they bashed Jesus. They called him they said he was in league with Satan himself. And so what they're not rejecting or blaspheming or talking against, because blasphemy is a talking idea, is they're talking against the work of the Holy Spirit, which is making known Jesus, making known his restoration, his forgiveness, and his grace. And so the reason why a person can't be forgiven of that, and we have to be clear on this, and that's why I started the way I did, is it's not unforgivable because all of a sudden Christ's sacrifice isn't big enough to forgive it. I think I've taught that really clearly at Peace for a long time. All sins are forgiven. All sins are under grace, and that is to be received in faith. Christ's forgiveness is totally sufficient to cover that sin. The problem with that sin and what makes it unforgivable is that's the sin where you're saying, I don't want it. That's the sin where you're saying, Jesus, I see that you want to forgive this. I see that you want to heal this. And you just say no. You just throw it away. And that's what makes it unforgivable. And the reason why Jesus teaches us about this sin, and it is scary. It's honestly, I think it might be the scariest teaching in the Bible. And that's why I'm so humbled before it. I'm so anxious about teaching it right now, because it is just, it's law. It's the hardest law in the Bible that you can be forever lost. But the reason why we're taught about this particular sin in the scriptures is it's really the same reason we're taught about hell. And that's that we'll never go there. So that before this sin ever gets off the ground in our lives, we can see its little beginnings and we just say, no, I'm not going there. I'm going to receive this healing, this restoration, this forgiveness from Christ. And so that brings me all the way full circle here on the sin against the Holy Spirit, this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say this again. If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're worried and you're concerned that you have committed this sin, I want to tell you, no, you haven't. You have not committed it. Because if you're scared or nervous or you're concerned, you actually care. You care about being a Christian. You care about the Holy Spirit. You care about Jesus. And you wouldn't if you had committed this sin of blasphemy. You would have hardened yourself way beyond that. And so what that means then is that you're a Christian. And what that means then is you have the gentlest King on earth. That you can come into his presence and you are perfectly forgiven. He's going to restore you. He's going to forgive you. He's already has made you right with God. And you get to just receive that in faith right here, right now, through these very words that I'm speaking. Which brings me to my last point. We need to talk about words. Because Jesus said here, and this is how he closes out the section, he says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. And some of you are thinking, because at Peace we just got done with that sermon series on Romans, and some of you are thinking, wait a minute, are you like fighting with the Apostle Paul, one of your apostles? Are you saying something different? Are you saying that it's, you know, by the works of your words that you're going to be acquitted or condemned? So Jesus, are you teaching a salvation by works? And the answer is no. Jesus is not fighting with his apostle. It's still true that we are saved by grace through faith in what Christ has done for us, his forgiveness. So it is still by faith. What Jesus is saying here, and this is what I want to make clear, is he says the words, and he uses this in particular, he says that in verse 35, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So he's saying what words are doing is that they are revealing the inner condition of your heart. So that's what he's saying. He's saying you can know what your heart really thinks by what your mouth actually says. And then he puts that in a particular context. He says, I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Now, I think we should put that comment into context, and And I don't think that Jesus is really talking about words in a comprehensive sense, although that could also be true. You could interpret that way and say every single idle word you've ever spoken, whether you're at a track meet or at a sleepover with friends in high school or whatever, that's going to be held against you. I think the words he's talking about in context here are the words that we use to refer to Jesus, because that's the problem that was going on here, is that the Pharisees were using very offensive words, particularly about the Christ. They were saying about Jesus, hey, Jesus, you are in league with the devil. You are a devil yourself. And Jesus is saying those words reveal what's really in your heart about me. So in other words, they're revealing what faith you have. So it's by faith that you're saved, and still by faith, right? And the last thing I want to point out here is he talks about empty words. Now, in Greek, that idea there is an idle word. So in other words, the really and most clearly revealing words are the words that just come out when you're not really paying attention. Does that make sense? Like when, because there are a lot of words you say and you guard them very carefully because there's other people around and you want to be watching what you say and stuff like that. But Jesus is not talking about those words specifically here. He's talking about words that really come out of your mouth, and they're very, very sincere, because there's nothing stopping you around you from guarding your words in any sense. They're just completely revealing about what's in your heart. So if you want to put this really into the context of what's happening going here, what we should pay attention to specifically are the words that we say, that we speak about Jesus when really nobody else is around. Or people that we can really, really trust. What do we say about Jesus? That's going to reveal faith or not. That's really what Jesus is saying. Now, this doesn't, remember I said this isn't Jesus fighting with his apostle Paul about it being by faith in Jesus that you're saved. And I want to prove that to you really quick. This is from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, where it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so this is, and again, this is the Apostle Paul connecting words with the condition of your heart. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. There it is. So you're saved by faith in Jesus. And it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. That's some really good news. Some really, really good news today that you know, when we say words about Jesus that honor him and that give him glory, and that are said in a space where we can really be sincere, that reveals the inner condition of our heart, that there is faith. And both Jesus and the Apostle Paul said that we're going to be acquitted through faith in him, that we're going to be forgiven, and we can rest in that. What a hope, what a future that we have through faith in Jesus. I think we can celebrate that. Thanks for listening to this week's pretext, second pretext we've ever done here at Peace. Please let me know if it's helpful for you. I want to leave you with just a couple questions, one that kind of probes at your heart and the other one that really just really comforts you. And lets you just sink this in. Number one, what do you think it is in us as human beings, that would make us call Jesus the devil? It's a key question for us to really meditate on, for us to really think about as we approach this week's sermon. It is really the key question that we're going to spend our time talking about on Sunday. And then number two, this question. How do you get to be thrilled today? How do you get to be thrilled that every sin against the Son of Man, and it's a promise, will be forgiven? What sin in your life do you get to just sit there and say, wow, my Jesus is good?